Attention hoop nerds. The 6-way basketball tournament is coming back to Madison College December 16th and 17th. Through the next few episodes, you're going to hear from the participating coaches and learn a little bit about their players and their teams. Lacrosse Central is returning as champions, and they play Friday night in the 8 p.m. game versus Joliet West. To kick off the event, we have Nina, defending Division I champions in Wisconsin, versus Wanakee at 6:30 on Friday night. And a new feature to the 6-way basketball tournament, to start Saturday, we have a showcase game between the Verona Wildcats and the defending Division III runner-up West Salem Panthers. 608basketball.com is linked in the notes. Make sure you get your tickets today. You don't want to miss out on high school basketball's best.
You know, I feel like I listen to our kids. So, you know, if I time out and I ask something, or if they bring something up, let's just do this. You know, I tend to listen to them, because if they come up with it and believe it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it works out.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Coach Robbins, welcome to the Hoop Nerds podcast.
Hello, Coach Kegler. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. We've been chatting for a bit already, so I thought we better hit record because there's some gold here that we need to be sharing with the audience. So let's go back in time. Let's use your memory machine a bit. Tell me about the first time you coached something and a memory that sticks with you from it.
The first time. So my first year coaching basketball, I was a sophomore at UW La Crosse. I lived in Drake Hall. And I was a JV assistant at La Crosse Aquinas. And what I remember about that was Aquinas didn't have a gym. So we would practice way on the south side of La Crosse in what I think was an elementary school called Pius, kind of an old wood floor. And I just remember, you know, having to drive. It was quite a ways from campus. And the other thing I remember about it was, like, Aquinas, at that time, it was Aquinas, Wisconsin Rapids Assumption, Chippewa Falls McDonald, Wausau Newman. The travel was unbelievable in that conference. So that was my first year of coaching. Volunteer, you know, JV assistant. I think they ended up, I got a check for like $112 at the end of the year, but it was a good experience. Bob Catchell was fun to work with, and we had a nice group of kids.
So if you can remember back then, what's something in coaching that you had an idea or a theory about going into the coaching that was completely turned upside down once you actually got into coaching?
Well, so, you know, I really got the coaching bug the summer before my senior year of high school. I went to camp in Madison, Steve Yoder camp in 1988. And that was back when camp was like Sunday through Friday or something. So it was not like today, that, you know, the 2 nights or 3 days. It was Sunday through Friday. And then I went to Badger Boys State. And then the third week, so I was like gone. The third week, it was a Sunday through Wednesday, UW Green Bay varsity, you know, defensive emphasis camp. And I, you know, got to camp, and the first time I heard, you know, Coach Bennett talk, and then Coach Heidemann and Coach Swan, I was like, they, boom, done. Like, I got home from that camp and I said, whole change in plans. I need to go to be a teacher so I can coach basketball. So I kind of have my idea of basketball is how they play it, right? Man-to-man, motion offense. Well, that first year at Aquinas, we played a lot of zone, which I was like, just like, blew my mind, right? Because I'm like, coach is doing this stuff at Green Bay. This is like 91, you know, and we're playing zone. And then I was like really bought into the whole motion offense thing, and we loved running flex. So it was, you know, one of those where you start to learn, you know, there's more ways than there's lots of different ways to play the game and to be successful.
I love that story. And I'm really curious about the Dick Bennett part of it with the defense. So, like, early in your coaching career, do you think you leaned more towards being a defensive coach or an offensive coach? And why do you think either way?
For sure, a defensive coach. And part of it was, you know, I was a good high school player. You know, I think my senior year, I probably averaged like 10 or 11 points a game. But I wasn't anything special. But I do remember I loved taking charges and I was good at it. And back in high school, back then, my junior year, I remember I had braces and you didn't wear mouth guards. And you would take a charge. And if you just started bleeding, cause you know, you cut your lip back then, you just bled on your jersey. It was no big deal, right? They didn't think anything of it. And I remember the lady that washed uniforms at Kewaunee High School used to always like make comments. It's like, well, you got hit in the mouth again, huh? Cause my jersey, my away jersey, my yellow one would be, the blood would be hard for her to get out. So.
Red and yellow Hulkamania coming at you.
Yeah. So yes, right. I would have considered myself a, you know, just to be a defensive coach and just, I from an early age, like a formative age, I used to hang on every, I still do hang on every word that he said, and just really bought into that part of it.
Now I'm curious, do you think it's easier to coach defense or easier to teach offense?
I think it's easier to coach defense. I think it is because offense is always that fine line. You know, I always feel like there's that continuum of having too much control and having not enough control and finding that happy middle to where, you know, you let your kids play, but at the same time, don't let them play dumb. Whereas defense, there is a lot of, you know, thinking involved in it, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of effort, you know, and heart and, you know, just a lot of, internal, you know, pride, to want to do something. So I do think it's easier, to be a defensive coach.
Then on the defensive end, without maybe going exactly into your entire philosophy and what you're doing in every situation, but do you believe more so in having rigid rules on, okay, in this situation, this positioning, this is what you do, or more so a broad base that doesn't matter how you do it, just get the job done the way it needs to be done?
I would say more broad based, you know, get it done. And I try to, you know, I feel like I listen to our kids. So, you know, if I time out and I ask something or if they bring something up, let's just do this. You know, I tend to listen to them because if they come up with it and believe it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it works out, you know, and my big thing to them all the time is that, you know, there's very few people sitting in the stands. Like if you have a breakdown sometime defensively, if you just keep competing and working through it, you know, majority of the time you're going to be okay. And the only people that are going to know you screwed something up is probably going to be the coaches on the bench, your teammates, and maybe a handful of people in the crowd that actually, you know, are nuanced enough to understand what you did wrong. So
yeah, I actually just had that conversation today with a player who's going to be a freshman at a college this coming fall. And my advice basically was focus really hard on rebounding and defense, because those are things you control with effort alone. You may have a mental breakdown, but you can overcome that.
Yep. And I would think that that's great advice. You know, though, if you can do a really good job in those two parts of the game. I mean, that, and especially like if you're a freshman coming in where you may have to kind of earn your way on the scout team, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're talking about boys. You have, you know, teenagers that are moving into adulthood as you transition out of them from high school. So I'm curious, what's something that you do with your teams that makes the biggest positive impact for them as they move from that childhood into their adulthood?
You know, one of the things, and this is, it's awkward for a little bit, and especially for parents that are really type A about schedules, but I try not to over like communicate schedules with parents. Like I have a Google site where they can go and kind of see stuff, what's going on. Cause, you know, I have it published, but at the end of the day, you know, I tell them I'm going to do a lot of my communicating with your kids because they need to learn to be on top of their schedules on their own. And this is a good time for them to do that. So by the time our kids are varsity players, you know, they're pretty on top of what we're doing. And, you know, I'm not communicating their schedule through their parent. I'm communicating directly with them on that. So I think that's one thing. And then, you know, we have like a, We always talk about controlling the controllables. So like, we, you know, hashtag CTC is a big thing for us. And then what are those things you can control? And then for us, it's EAA, effort, attitude, actions. And we try to talk about that, you know, beyond just basketball, but other parts of their life and whatnot. And, you know, we try to talk about just being a good dude and being a good, you know, good teammate, being a good classmate, being a good son, being a good brother, those types of things.
All right, you're opening up cans of worms for me here. Let's go back to the communication part real quick before we come back to EAA. What methods of communication are you using with them that gets through to them?
So we group text a lot. And then I found out that, you know, that's not their preferred form. They like Snap, and I'm not a big Snap. Like, I have Snap on my phone, and there's times, like, if I put something in the group chat and they don't respond, I like go on Snap and go, guys, go read the group text. And then they all, so I've figured out that. So mostly I think, you know, other than obviously when we talk and, or, you know, we have phone calls or we talk person to person, it's, you know, through a lot of the, our group text. You know, we set up a group text start of the year. And like, if I like come across a cool, you know, something profound I find on Twitter or something profound, I, you know, send that out to them. Or, you know, just something comes up schedule wise, I send it out to them that way.
Okay. EAA, effort, attitude, action. What settings are those conversations happening in? As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com.
You know, really everything. You know, we talk about it, you know, we talk about it at all times of the year, you know, summer, fall, during the season. We talk about it during practice or before practice. We talk about it. It's always up on our marker board when we're doing, you know, scouting report before a game. It's kind of one of the last things, you know, where, you know, you, and we're big on, you know, I always ask him who takes care of the referees in our program, and they're like, you do, because I don't, you know, they pretty much know that's not their job. And then if they are going to communicate with them, that they have to do it tactfully. But, you know, you can't control refs. I said, you certainly can't get into my mind and control playing time. You know, that can't work. Can't control how the ball bounces. You can't control, you know, how the other team shoots on that night. But, you know, you can control your effort, your, you know, your attitude, how we're, you know, your actions in the game, all that stuff. So it's always kind of a last thing that we talk about in our, you know, right before the game when we get ready to take the floor.
Yeah, so I love that you mentioned the EAA is on your whiteboard. So you're coming to Madison College December 16th and 17th to play in the second 6-0A basketball tournament. And one of my favorite stories from the past is I get to go in the locker rooms after the teams leave, right? And oftentimes the coaches leave their scouting reports and things on the whiteboard, and I get to see them. So when I was at Just the Game, I would always see Jack Bennett's Give It Your Best and Live With It acronym on the board. And it was, I played at lacrosse and played against him when he was at Stevens Point. So it was always funny for me to see that because I knew they were a disciple of the Bennett tree. And so now I'll be looking to see your scouting report after the game, but you'll probably erase it on me. In any case,
it's funny that the Give It Your Best and Live With It, that acronym was up on. So I've been an elementary PE teacher, Nina, for 26 years. And so this year I'm transitioning. Somebody retired at the high school, so I'm moving to the high school for 1 year, you know, in our current building. And then we're going to the new high school in 23-24. And that was always up on my marker board, along with some other acronyms. And when I went to like do my final clean out my last time, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to leave that up there in the top for the, even though the guy that's replacing me is a wrestling guy, that's up on our board. So, it's a great acronym. And, you know, Jack's been a really good mentor to me and a good friend. So learned a lot from him over the years. But and one of my assistants, his job is always to make sure he erases the whiteboard so we don't leave scouting reports up. So, and it is funny that you do that, because we're big into, you know, you leave a locker room better than what you found it. And we have an acronym for, like, I always loved Don Meyer, like, you know, his rules, everybody picks up garbage. And I don't want to just copy Coach and say everybody picks up garbage, because that's just copying Coach Meyer. So we have like a little acronym. We like acronyms. And our kids are good about, they know they have to pick up the bus. And it's pretty much now to the point where, like, we did a punishment like 4 or 5 years ago that was pretty, you know, it was a solid punishment. And everybody, now that lesson just gets kind of from the one generation to the next. So they know we have to keep the bus clean. And we always have a senior every year. And this past year, it was a junior who's really good about, like, if he's, you know, when he's leaving the locker room, picks up water, but makes their stuff gets thrown away. And we're good about, like, when we go on an away game, sometimes, when I do my post game thing at home, I might like just walk into the opposing locker room, just see how they left it, just out of curiosity. And one of the things we always want to, you know, that ours is clean, that we pick up, we, you know, take care of the marker board. So one of my assistants, he and I usually at the end, we walk around, do a quick check. And if anything, we have to pick up. So okay, it's kind of our routine. It's become our thing over the years.
I'm going to get in there before he erases it. In any case. So you guys are coming to play, and you're playing Wanakee in the first game on Friday night. Can you tell me a little bit about what people can expect to see from the Neenah Rockets?
You know, we'll be a different team than we were last year, just because we don't have the size that we had last year. You know, we graduated three guys that were 6'5", 6'5", 6'7", that are all three are playing in the WEAC. A 6'3 kid who is playing defensive back at Minnesota State. And so, you know, we had some size, and we do have some bigger kids this year, but not to the degree of like JJ Carter, Eli. So we'll be, you know, more perimeter oriented. We'll probably shoot more threes. We're going to still do the same things we do defensively. You know, we play mostly man to man. We did dabble more last year in zone, just because we had the length to do so. And 2 years ago as well, I see us being more, especially at that time of the year, probably a lot of man-to-man and, you know, motion on offense, some set plays, and that's what we'll be in December.
All right, awesome. I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk a little bit about some of the players that you do have returning or coming in. So tell me about some of the players that fans want to come check out when they come to the tournament.
Well, obviously, you know, the one biggest one is, Cal Klesmet didn't get to play last year. He actually played the last 5 seconds of the season because we got him in the state tournament game to dribble out the clock. But, you know, he's back playing again off of his ACL. Had a nice kind of end of June high school and had a successful AAU season in July. But he's working hard and eager to get back on the court. So obviously, you know, has somebody that holds some scholarship offers that people want to check out. And it also, you know, his older brother is playing in Madison now. So that would also, you know, make him of interest. Brady Corso was a 30-game starter for us last year as a sophomore and averaged like just under like literally 9.98 points per game. So roughly 10 points a game last year. I think he had 298 points in 30 games, was a, you know, 40% 3-point shooter. He had a really good AAU season. You know, he's 6'1" left-hander that can shoot it and is a good player. So he's somebody that, you know, people want to come watch. And then, you know, we have a group of junior guys that, Jackson Schloman, you know, was one of our like sixth, seventh guy off the bench this year. 6'2" kid, can score a little bit going to the rim, can shoot it a little bit. Elliot Swanson, who is again, another role player for us this year, really gritty kid and a good defender. Sam Colfart, who probably going to pick up some of the scoring load for us this year, a 6'1" guard. Again, somebody that, you know, in another program, probably last year would have been playing a lot of minutes and doing a lot of scoring. We were he's down the rotation for us last year just because of the number of, you know, good seniors we had in front of him. But I'm looking for big things from him his senior year. So, and then, you know, we round out, we have a really good group of junior kids that like to play and work hard. And so we'll have a good, you know, we'll have a team that will compete and work hard. And we have kids, really good kids, and kids that love to play and compete.
Yeah. Oh, the love of the game is a huge part. All right. I'm going to get you out of here on a couple non-basketball related questions, just because I like to dive into your brain a little bit. So it's after a game and you can only have one food item and one food item only because you're starving. What is that one food item you're going after?
That's a great question. That's a great question. You know, it's gone in streaks early in my time. And this was just my seventh year at Neenah, like, and things have changed, right? Because of the COVID stuff the last couple of years, what's open late at night has changed. So my thing like 3 or 4 years ago, pre-COVID, would have been maybe a quick drive through the Wendy's or the McDonald's. Now those places are open. So it's, this is like my place now that I stop most of the time on the way home, because I know it'll be open, is Quick Trip. So if it's, you know, it might be a chicken sandwich or a black Angus burger or whatever. So typically it's going to be probably something from Quick Trip if it's after a game.
Okay. Great plug for Quick Trip. All right.
Yeah.
Last question. Out of that. We're trying. All right. Last question for you here. Use your imagination a bit. Now it's food related, and I'm not sure why they both ended up that way, but they did. So you open a refrigerator and you look inside that refrigerator. What one item in that refrigerator best identifies with who you are and why?
What one item do I identify with? For whatever reason, I'm saying the gallon of milk, but I'm trying to identify why. Why it identifies with me. But typically when you open a refrigerator, right, the gallon of milk is the first thing you see. So I don't know if it's because it's dependable, right? It, you know, it's got multiple uses. It's flexible. You can, you know, have it with cookies. You can have it on cereal. You just have it as a, you know, have it as a drink. So maybe milk, because it's dependable and it's always there. It's okay. Just always there. And I feel like that's kind of me. I'm always, and probably some people at Neenah probably, well, and probably my wife, I'm always there. I'm always there. So maybe milk. Milk is it.
Okay. I think we got it. I love it. All right. Coach Robbins, thanks for joining us on the Hoop Nerds. We look forward to seeing you at December 16th and 17th in Madison.
Excellent. We're looking forward to the event.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I'm very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase.